Hey, today we've actually got a special guest with us, and I'm really excited to get him up to share. He is the National Director for Church Connection Community with Alpha, and he is just phenomenal. His name's Paul Smith, but it's not the Paul Smith that's in this church. They call him Skip. Is that why you're Skip? Because you were in his church at the same time. Did you just go, I'll be Skip? I don't know. I've known Skip since I was about 19 over at City Point. He's been a pastor for decades. Now he works for Alpha. He's doing an incredible thing, and we're just so honored to have him. So let's just give him a warm welcome as he comes up and shares.
Excellent. Thanks, Az. Great to be here. Speaking of Paul Smith, he was sitting behind me, right? That was him there. Because he had a mask on, and I was like, we're chatting, I'm thinking, I know you, but the mask thing got me, you know, and then at the end he's walking off, and I'm thinking, and then you said, I went, that's who it was. It all dropped into line. So, Paul Smith, we're at the same time. Yeah, been around, I was thinking, I wonder, you know, I'm looking forward to being at this church. I haven't been before, but then I realized, no, I have been here before. I've been here on day one and day two. And day three of this church, I actually helped. I was the worship leader when this church was planted down there at the convention center. Down there, their first meetings down there when we planted it together, Dave McDonald said, we're going to plant a church. And I was on staff. So he said, so you're going to be planting a church too. So I'm like, I've never planted a church before. And so we got to be part of this church plant. And here you are. So congratulations on your faithfulness. And for those of you who've been here for all of those years and any time, whether you've just come recently or you've been here a whole bunch of those years, thank you so much for your commitment and for sowing into this local community. It's so exciting to see how well you are all doing. Some friendly faces here. The hills are here. My gosh, Bernice, you're looking amazing. You never age. How do you say married to a girl like this? She just doesn't age, man. You picked well. Bernice, look at you. Look at you. My gosh. Hey, so great to be here. And even one of your senior pastors as well, Ross and Kathy. I was 1990, I joined the youth group at City Point when they were my youth pastors. I just realized that was like 31 years ago. So great relationship with your senior pastor. And as I said, as Pastor Az said as well, and these guys for a little while. So it's great having some connections. But for those of you I haven't met, nice to meet you. My name's Skip. My wife, Leah. We've been married, coming out, 27 years this year? What year is it? An odd year or an even year? It's an odd year. Yeah, it must be an odd number. 27 years. I got to try and remember. Was it 29? No, it's 29 years this year. Odd number. 29 years this year. Got three kids. Isaac, who's 21. And like Dan and Sal, we knew them before. They had their kids. Jackson was born. Isaac's 21 at Bible college, finishing up his third year of Bible college this year. Got ministry goal in his life. My daughter Sophie, 19, engaged, getting married in 11 weeks. And she's at uni and getting married and bought a house, all happening for her. My gosh. And then a little fella, Joey, who's 11. And so that's my family today, and they send their love. But we're here today. I'm so excited. As mentioned, do you get that all the time? That's right. That is right. I said that right. As mentioned, work with Alpha, and so you guys have got Alpha coming up, I hear, which is so exciting in a couple of weeks' time. So if you don't know what Alpha is, just a quick brief. What is Alpha? Alpha essentially is a conversation. It's a conversation about life, faith, and meaning from a Christian perspective. It's answering those big questions of life, but coming together to do that in community. And essentially, an Alpha is made up of three parts. You have food, you watch a video, and you have a chat about it. That simple. That's essentially what it is. So you come along, you get together, time of connection, you watch some content, and you have a conversation. And you do that over a number of weeks, building that relationship up, and you just see what happens. So you're like, well, why are we doing Alpha? Like, why do Alpha here? Why are we doing it? I mean, Anthony's been driving this thing here. He's been faithful and running it. Why would I get on board and do Alpha? Well, apart from the fact that around the world, nearly 30 million people have done Alpha. Last year alone, 1.3 million people did Alpha online during the pandemic. I did two of those, and in Australia, of that 1.3 million, 40,000 were in Australia last year. And then a further 22 met in person online, 1,000 people met online. So Australia's had over 600,000 people go through Alpha since it's been here in Australia. And we've seen Alpha in over 150 countries around the world. It's translated into over 100, 100 languages, 112, I think it is, 112 languages around the world. And people are using it in every denomination. So whether it's Pentecostal churches like ours using Alpha, or whether it's mainline churches like your Baptists and your Anglicans and your Lutherans, the Catholic Church uses Alpha, the Orthodox Church uses Alpha. Every single denomination that calls Jesus Lord uses Alpha. And it's all the stuff we all agree on. It's the stuff that's the core of our Christian faith. Who Jesus is. The fact that Jesus died for us and you can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. It's the stuff everybody all agrees on. And so it's so powerful, and that's why it works so well. And you go, well, does it work? Well, just this week, literally, I didn't have to go back far. Literally in the last 7 days, I had like one guy call me and we were just chatting from a local church here in Brisbane, a local Pentecostal church. They had 5 people come to faith on their last Alpha that they just ran. I was chatting with a guy in Western Australia who did, he said, we're going to do Alpha different. We're going to do it just with men. I've got a men's group and I want to do, and men are going to invite their mates so they can, you know, unapologetically have, you know, like this big bacon breakfast things they did over breakfast, and it was just incense. They had 3 men come to faith on their last Alpha. That was just this week. Alpha works because it's about a place of connecting and sharing the gospel. So Alpha's there and you guys are doing it. You're getting involved. And we want to talk a little bit more about that as we go. But I want to look at some scripture today because I want to look at, where does this fit? How do we understand Alpha in the light of why? Why would we do this? Why does it work? Where does it come from? Why should I even be involved in this? Or should I be involved in it? How does this work? So what I'm going to do is we're going to read a fair bit of scripture today. I hope you're ready to strap on in. Can we read the Bible in church? Is that okay? We'll read a bit of Bible in church. That's all right. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to go to John chapter 4. And if you have an app where you can choose your version, choose New Living, because I'm going to be working from New Living. If you don't have it, doesn't matter. Any version will work. We'll get there, all right? And if you don't have that, we're going to put it up on the screen as well for you so you can see where it's up to. But it's always good to have it yourself so when you go back, you can see it in your Bible. Let's have a look here. John 4. We're going to start in verse 3. I'm going to move through this first part. There's a whole bunch of stuff on the story. I wasn't sure which part to cut out to get through it, so I'm just going to read all of it, all right? So I'm going to read it pretty quick, but here we go. So he, being Jesus, left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, and eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. So Jesus was a man, all right? So Jesus was God. But the Bible says he left his godnessness in heaven and took on the form of humanity whilst always still being God. But he gave up all the trappings, all that supernatural power that would naturally come with being God. And he lived life on earth as a man reliant on the Holy Spirit, just like we are. So all the miracles that Jesus did, he did as a human being reliant on the Holy Spirit so that we could be inspired that whatever we saw Jesus do, we could do greater works as well. Because if he did it as God, then we'd be known like, well, he was God. I can't do that. He was God. But he's like, no. I did this as man. He was the Son of Man filled with the Spirit. Anyway, that's not my message today. Just felt to rest on that for a moment. He was a man. So he got hungry and he got tired because he was a man as well as being God. So he's hungry, he's tired. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food because he was hungry. That's what happens. You're hungry. Now, Jesus was not fasting, right? He was hungry. Let's keep going. The woman was surprised. What? What's going on? The Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. It's like they're enemies. It's like, we don't talk. It's like, we're enemies. We're fighting. It's just like, no one talks to each other like this, you know? It's like, no way. It's like Penrith and South. It's like we don't talk. It's like the grand final. We're not friends here. No, but it's worse than that. And Jesus said, so she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if only you knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. She goes, you don't even have a rope or a bucket? Like, duh. Like, and the well's very deep. Where are you going to get this living water? So she just missed the whole thing, right? Jesus is getting all deep and rabbi-ish on her, you know, putting this whole parable thing out. And she's like, what? I don't see a bucket. How are we going to get water? Anyway, and besides, Do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? So she's getting a bit of argy-bargy here with the whole Samaritan Jew thing going on. I haven't got time to explain what she's going on about, but needless to say, it's like, so did you win the 21st, you know, who won the premiership last year? It's like, yeah. So did you, the ref call up? It's like, she's just pulling out stuff, all right, why we're not friends here. Who gave us as well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? So Jesus changes topic, just totally changes it. He said, in a sec, he goes, but anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving eternal life. She goes, give me this water and I'll be never thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water. She still doesn't get it, right? She's like, where's this water? I don't see the bucket. Where's it coming from? He changes topic. Go and get your husband, he says. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the guy you're living with now. You've certainly spoken the truth. She goes, okay. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Because how else is he going to know that, right? So tell me, she doesn't stay there, she keeps moving on. Why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while us Samaritans claim that there's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Like, totally nothing to do with the fact that he's just called her out on this and just totally blown her mind. She just puts his smoke screen up. Have you ever noticed that? That people will do that. You start talking about God and then I'll start like, yeah, but what about the dinosaurs? What? Where did that come from? They well, what about this then? Well, what do you think about that? You're like, we were talking about this over here, and suddenly they throw up all these smoke screens about, yeah, well, what about this? So this woman starts throwing up, yeah, well, what? Where about this worship? So Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming, he works with her, when it'll no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Praise God for that. We can worship God here today, amen? We don't have to go over there. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. Well, we actually Jews know all about him because salvation comes through the Jews. So she just went, you're actually wrong here, let me explain. But he goes, but that's not the big deal. The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So he's going on and on. The woman said, well, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Notice Jesus never denies himself. Jesus can't deny himself. He always has to say who he is. If you don't see that more than when he stand before Pilate. The Bible says he answered nothing. But whenever he was questioned on who he was, he always answered. Jesus can never deny himself. And he said, I'm the Messiah. But just then, the disciples come back. There's this conversation going on. They were shocked. What? Jesus talking, one, to a woman and a Samaritan. It's like two strikes for them. And they're like, it's blowing their mind. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her or why you're talking to her? Because they know Jesus would just like, just, that don't question Jesus because they've seen so many weird things that's blown their mind already. We're just going to let this one play out, though this is freaking us out right now. What is going on? So the woman left her water jar. We're going to slow it down now. Here we go. The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who's told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming out of the village to see him. Come and see. Come and see. You see, Alpha is a form of come and see evangelism. Alpha is about come and see. There's go and tell evangelism and there's come and see. So often when we hear about evangelism and telling people about Jesus, we think of the Great Commission. We think of go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, every creature. You know, which we read at the end of, you know, Mark, we're reading the end of Matthew. Go in. And absolutely, amen. We go into all the world. And sometimes we hear that and we think that's the only way. I'm not here to say this is not an either or message. Amen to all of that. This is a both and. Can I suggest another way is also the come and see approach. The come and see. Because with the go and tell, absolutely brilliant, but often there can be pressure Because as I'm going out, to talk. What if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? And what if they say, yeah, what about the dinosaurs? I don't know. I'm not about dinosaurs. I don't know. You know, and the pressure of what about this and what about that? And people can get intimidated by the go and tell. People are like, oh, but who do I go to and where do I go to and how do I go to and oh my God, which people group do I go to and how do I get there? And it can freak people out. And again, there's ways around all of those and I'm not diminishing that. What I'm here to say is that there's also a way, and that's why Alpha positions us here. It's called come and see. So just like the wonder well. So we're going to look today at, I'm going to go through 9 points about come and see. So ready to lock them off. Here we go. 9 quick points to bring you home today. Number one, she says this. Could he possibly be the Messiah? First point is, with come and see evangelism, you don't have to have all the answers. She didn't even know if he was the Messiah. She's like, I don't know. Could be. Like, he could be. Do you want to come and find out together? And so with come and see evangelism, you don't have to have your entire faith thing worked out. You don't have to have it all. I've got the answers for everything. I've been a Christian for 27 years. I've done Bible college. I've led small groups. If you've just come to faith, in fact, you may not even come to faith yet. You may not even come to faith, but you can still say, come and see. You can invite people into the conversation. In fact, that's what happened in my church that I was leading. We had a guy turn up one day at the start of church and he told me, he goes, oh, this girl needs to give her life to Jesus. So I found out what the story is. He'd been a Christian but hadn't been walking with God for 30 years. Hadn't been in church for 30 years. Wasn't even sure if he was saved. But this girl he got into a conversation with at work, said, got onto Topic of God. And he's like, well, we're talking. I'm not sure if I totally believe, but you know, this. She goes, well, I want to find out more. And he's like, go to church, I guess. So he knew a name, and so he found our church through a name that he knew, brought her to church and said, here you go. There she is. Come and see. Come and see. So in the middle of the service, like as did today, it was in the middle of, at the end of worship, I just felt to have an altar call. I said, who needs to give their life to Jesus? She put her hand straight up. I was like, okay, led her to Jesus. At church, we finished the service off. I said, anyone else want to give their life to Jesus? He said, yep, I do too, and came out. And the same thing. He wasn't even in a relationship with Jesus, and he brought someone along. See, with come and see evangelism, you don't even need to have it all worked out. Take the pressure off of having to know it all. You just say, well, come and see. Number two, what she said here, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Out of the whole conversation, she didn't even go back to that. Notice it was all about you Jews and us Samaritans and where you're going to worship then and how we're going to get water. Look at the whole conversation. He busts out, oh, you've got a, you know, you live with a guy and be married 5 times. And she goes, well, you're a prophet. That was all she said and she moves on. You would have thought by the amount of what she talked about that it was something else that was really important to her. But notice what was really important to her. That one part of the conversation. That one bit of the conversation. You don't know which one bit of your life is impacting people. Sometimes you think, but I haven't really shared all the stuff yet. I haven't given them the Roman road. I haven't told them all about Jesus and how to give your life to Jesus and stuff. But I bought them that coffee. But I covered that shift for them when they needed someone and they couldn't get anyone. I said, I'll stay back and I'll work a double shift to cover you. You don't know what impacts people. You don't know what impacts people's lives and why they will say yes. Because all of your life is speaking to people. And here's the thing, you don't have to, so don't get caught up on the, did I say the right thing? Have I covered off everything? With come and see evangelism, it's your whole life that's doing it. And you don't know what impact you're making. I know there was a guy, I was speaking at a youth camp. Speaking of youth camps, I remember preaching at youth camps back when I was younger. Don't get invited anymore to youth camps. That's okay. I'm not complaining. Just realize you just get old. Just keep aging every year. But anyway, when I was invited to preach at youth camps years ago, I was at this youth camp. And I noticed you guys were playing volleyball. Our guys were playing baseball. And so we had, you know, the baseball diamond there. And we had teams. And I'd got up and had my go. And as I was on the team, as you know, we'd bat there. So I'm sitting back. The guy's about where Anthony is right here. And he's there. And I'm sitting back here. And he lines up. And he cracks it And then as he does, he lets the bat go and it smacks me straight in the mouth. Full steam. Bang, right in the mouth. My teeth still haven't recovered. I've got to go to the dentist coming up soon to get some. That was like 30 years ago. My mouth blows up. The first thing I do is I just lay hands on myself as I go over backwards. And I just go, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, would you heal me? And I just start praying for myself. People come over, there's blood. They take me back to my room. I've got mild concussion. I've got to preach that night so I have a rest. I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but I rested. And I got up and preached with my mouth like this. And I was like, just all big. But we got through it. And a guy came to Bible college a year later, because I was talking about how Bible college can help, you know, if people come and help work in your life. And I found out later, he said to me, I came to Bible college not because of the message you preached, wasn't because of the power of God that was there. We had people falling over, and there was power, and there was prophecy, and there was people getting healed. He said, you know what, why I came? Because I saw your reaction when you got hit in the face by that baseball bat. Really? That's what sent you to Bible college? You don't know what people are watching and the thing that's their trigger. So the whole thing with come and see evangelism, take the pressure off. It's just, it's not about getting it all right, because it's that one word. And just listen to those promptings of the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Ghost to ask, and there'll be those gentle nudges, and sometimes they won't be big, amazing, like, this is it. Lay it all out to them. It could be just give them a call. My wife just this week was reading scripture, and she just felt the scripture as she was reading, because it said about doing good to your family. It says, ring your sister. She's like, but I just spoke to her last week. It's like, we don't, okay. So she just knows what to do. And then that was the day when there was a critical thing going on in her life, and there's crying and there's snot and all that sort of stuff on the phone, because she listened to the Spirit. So it could be just that phone call. So here's the thing. Number two, remember, is that you don't know what part of your life is going to impact. Number three, the woman left her jar beside the well, ran back into the village, telling everybody. Why did she have to go back to the village and tell everybody? Because she was the only one there. And you go, so? You see, women never came out in the middle of the day. This is the Middle East. Like much of the Mediterranean and those areas, nothing happens in the middle of the day. That's when everything shuts down. That's when everything shuts down. You go out and you gather water at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. You don't do it at noontime in the middle of the day. This woman was an outcast. This woman wasn't somebody that hung out with the rest. Imagine having small town village, small village, small community, five husbands living with a guy in that community. She was not very popular. Well, not in the right way anyway. She wasn't the sort of person that other people wanted to associate with. But notice what happened. That didn't stop her going back and saying, come and see. Don't disqualify yourself with come and see evangelism. Well, I'm just a junior, or I'm just the old guy, or I'm just the receptionist, or I'm just a sales clerk, or I'm just I'm not one of the influential ones. I'm not one of the in crowd. You don't know what God's going to do. So don't discount yourself just because you're just a. This woman was just a. She was one no one wanted to hear, and yet when she went and told them all, the whole village came out. Don't disqualify yourself just because you think you're not the right person. Let's read this next part of scripture. We're going to jump down to verse 39 here. We sort of jumped over a bit if you're reading in your Bible. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said, which when she said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we've heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Next point. They said, we believe now that we've seen him for ourselves. See, the thing is, you don't have to feel the pressure to convince anybody. With come and see evangelism, it's not your job to convince anybody. They came because they were interested by her, but they then met Jesus themselves personally. So it wasn't like she had to tell them all about Jesus and she had to make them believe. She just said, come and check him out. And then they encountered him for themselves. See, with come and see evangelism, it takes the pressure off to have to make someone believe. Not that you can make anyone believe anyway, right? It's a work of the Spirit. There's a thing that God's given every person called free will that they have to submit to God in order to believe. So come and see says, it's not up to you. It's not up to you to make somebody believe. Here's the other thing it says. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village, and so he stayed 2 days. You see, Jesus is not in a rush. He had to go through there to get where he was going, but he wasn't in a rush. The thing with Alpha is not just about information dissemination. If we just wanted to get the message out and the information out, we could do it really quick. We could sit you down and over 5 or 6 hours, bang, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're about taking some time. Alpha's about, that's why Alpha runs over a number of weeks so that people can have that relationship built. So they can trust you. They can trust the presenters that they're watching. That they can trust the process that this is going to be a safe place for them. That they can actually say anything they want and they're not going to be judged. That they can actually go, really? I don't even know if I believe in God. And you're not going to go, what? You're going to go, okay, thank you for sharing that. I don't have to agree with you, but I hear you and I acknowledge the fact that you feel that way. And that's okay for you to have that opinion. And when you do that in Alpha, people go, okay, they're not going to judge me. I'll come back next week and then next week. Because some people, it takes them longer to get to that point. Some people aren't ready to give their lives to Jesus right away. Some people, it's a time. This is a major life event, right? That you're wanting them to give their whole life to God. And it's just like, do it now. Doesn't always work like that. People aren't ready all the time to do that. So, take that pressure off. There's no rush. It takes time. Here's the next thing. Many Samaritans came to the village and believed. Notice it doesn't say all the Samaritans believed. Hang on. This is Jesus himself. This is God incarnate. The best preacher who ever lived. The truth himself standing before them, and still some people didn't believe. So guess what? Not everybody who comes on your Alpha will believe. Sad, but true. On my last Alpha that I did, 2 people came to faith, but not the guy that I invited. No, my friend comes. He wouldn't call himself a Christian. He comes and he talks, and the one I invited comes along, had great conversations with him. God did some great things. I haven't got time to explain now, but my point is God touched him. But in the end, he would not call himself a Christian yet. Was it a waste? Never. It's never a waste. It's never a waste. Because now he's further along the track. He's in that place of conversation. All right, so it's not a waste. Never a waste. Let's keep reading. Go back to 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Come on, like, you're hungry. You're tired. Like, that's why we went and got burgers from town. Like, eat. Jesus replied to them, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring you food while we were gone? The disciples asked. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Think about that. Jesus was not fasting. He was hungry. He was starving. But after he had talked to one lady about who he was, this is before she'd gone into town, he goes, I'm actually satisfied. I'm full. Because I'm doing what I was sent to do. I was sent to share the love of God. I was sent to share hope with someone. She hadn't even given her life to Jesus fully yet. She hadn't even said yes. She's going, could be. Maybe. Jesus is like, there you go. He's like, this is what satisfies me. Could I encourage you today, if you feel like your relationship with God, your Christianity is a bit like, I get up, go to work, come home, watch the block, go to bed, get up and do it all over again, except on Sunday. Get up, breakfast, go to church, go home. If your life's a bit like that, could I ask you, when was the last time you invited someone to come and see? When was the last time? Because I can guarantee, because it happened to Jesus himself. If you're somebody who's inviting people to come, like this girl who invited all these friends to youth, oh my gosh, I love hearing that. I love hearing that. You know, we've got Youth Alpha too, right? We've got Alpha Youth. You can go into schools with your young people and they can do it in lunch hours. Like, there are so many cool things that can happen. There's all sorts of things. I can guarantee if you invite somebody to come and see, you invite someone to church, you invite someone along to Alpha, then tell me how you feel about life. There's a satisfaction and a life that comes in you when you share the gospel, when you invite people to come and see, when you reach out of yourself and reach that, you watch what God does in your life. You watch what happens. So it will be the most satisfying thing to do. Two more points. That was number seven. You following with me? Point number eight. Here we go. We're bringing it home. Know that God is already at work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and the harvest, Jesus said, but wake up and have a look around. The fields are already ripe to harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit they harvest is people. This is the fruit that we harvest, people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you'll get to gather the harvest. But Jesus said, here it is. I say to you, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe to harvest. There are people ready right now to give their life to Jesus. Right now. See, back then, there was this saying, you know, oh, they're not ready yet. It's still 4 months away. There's still people waiting. You know, it's like, you know, a revival's going to come one day to Redlands, but it's really hard. The spiritual atmosphere, it's really tough here. People just don't give their lives to Jesus easy. People have been saying that for 2,000 years. You know, Jesus says that's not true. He said there are people ready right now in the Redlands, right now, ready to give their lives to Jesus. Now. So wake up and have a look around. Wake up and look around because they are ready. There are people right now. In fact, McCrindle Research, they're an Australian-based research company, in 2019 did research to non-Christians. And asked, one of the things I asked them was this: would you be willing to come to church if someone invited you? Here's the results. 40% of people said they would come to church if they were invited by a friend or a close family member. 40% said yes. Another 16% said, yeah, we're not sure. That's over half. Over half the people would be willing to consider even the fact of coming to church or to Alpha. Are people ready? Statistically, we know they are. Jesus said they are. There are people ready right now. People are ready to be invited to church. And don't say they're no for them. Don't say no for those people. We don't know where they're up to. We don't know what's gone, like my wife with that phone call. We don't know what's just happened in their life this week. You might have been there and they've been really cold before, but this time something happened that you know nothing about. But it's time. This time they're going to say yes. This time they're going to say yes. Others are, you know, we're fearful because we think that they're not ready. But come on. God, show us. God, help us to have eyes that are open to see the harvest. Lord, I just pray for each one of us here that we would see the opportunities. And that, Lord God, like we've been singing, that we would bring that revival. God, pour out, wake up the city, Lord God. Wake us up. That, Lord God, that we would see the opportunity. And God, then give us the boldness to do it. Give us the boldness to invite. The boldness to do it. And here's the last point. Point number nine. So bring it home. It says this, what joy awaits, watch this, both the planter and the harvester. Both. The joy and reward is not in the harvest alone, but even in the sowing. Even in the sowing. You get blessed when you invite. You get just as blessed when you invite. You see, invitation is the win. The invitation is the win. Not even whether they accept the invitation. Not even whether they accept Jesus or not. Remember, Jesus was filled up when the woman was excited about the possibility. She hadn't even come to faith yet. But Jesus said, this is what fills you up. The invitation is the win. That's where the win is for us. That's where the rejoicing and the joy is, because you've sown. And you get to share in the joy, not just when the reaping. Well, I don't know if I ever, you know. Maybe this won't, you won't get a chance this time, but maybe next time, because others are sowing. I know my wife and I, we serve in our church at our Next Steps area. That's where we serve in our church, at one of our services. And we're there. So last week, just last Sunday, this girl comes up. I've been invited to church. I came to church. I'm just not sure where I'm at with my faith. What's going on? We said, why don't you come with us to Alpha? Alpha's starting right now after church. And so we took her into our church, Alpha. What do? Well, we just watered the seed. We didn't plant the seed. We didn't harvest. But we were part of that process. And we just simply took her along to Alpha. Wasn't hard. It was so easy. But guess what? I get the joy because I know I've been part of her spiritual journey because I've helped connect her in and I've helped her on her journey. See, we get the joy every time we help people. That is where the joy comes from. That's where the win is. That's where the excitement is. That's where it is. And our reward. And, you know, maybe you will find that person who's right ready. I remember being on a bus once and I was just chatting with this lady, just chatting with her and an older lady, and I was young, this is years ago, and I was just there and we were talking about Jesus and she, why were you happy? We're just talking, I'm so happy, I just love Jesus, man. I'm just so excited. Oh, what about Jesus? We're talking and we're talking. I said, you know, would you like to give your life to Jesus? She said, yes. I said, what, right now? She goes, yes. I'm on a bus. She's across the aisle from me. We've been chatting across the aisle. I'm like, what do I do now? I'm trying to think, how do they pray the prayer? How do the pastors pray the prayer at the end of the service? What do I say? I don't know what to say. Good news is it doesn't matter what you say. And she came to Jesus and I helped her find a church and whatever else. You have those moments. And often you'll hear those by evangelists up the front. But let me tell you, I also had my friend who came and spent, you know, 8 weeks on Alpha with me and still hasn't said yes to God yet. But guess what? The joy comes from both of those. The reward comes from both of those. That's where the rejoicing is. So who could you invite? Who could you bring along to Alpha this week? Let's invite them along. It's coming up soon. Let's invite them to church. Invite people to Alpha. Invite people to your small group. Invitation is the win. Let's invite people to have the opportunity to meet with Jesus and have their lives changed forever. Let's have a look at the screens.
Perfect. Yes. We all have that person in our lives. That neighbour we pass by every day outside our homes. That co-worker we see at the office 5 days a week. Or those friends we catch up with every once in a while. People we wish could know and experience the love of God. How do we share it? Where do we even start? Deep inside, we know that it will cost us something to open up our lives and share our faith. It takes time, vulnerability, sacrifice, the risk of rejection. But this is our call to open our lives and to share Christ with the people close to us. Because it's only through opening your life up that spaces for honest conversations are possible. Spaces where people can truly be themselves and explore the deepest parts of life with people they know and trust. That's why we're running Alpha. It's a course over several weeks where you can invite your friends to explore life's biggest questions over a meal. It's a chance for you to invite that person into an honest conversation about faith, because when it's hard to find the moment or the words or the courage, you can simply invite. Alpha, who will you invite?
How good is that? Can we give it up for Skip for today? You know, I believe all our hearts just for people to meet Jesus, right? If you've met Jesus and he's changed your life, you know what it's done to you. And I think sometimes, even this week, I was chatting with Beck and saying, how do you function in a world like this without Jesus? You know, like, how do you do it? And when you have the answer, it's very easy to hold on to that answer, but actually inviting people is so important. And Alpha kicks off October 12th. So not this week, the following week. So you've got a week to maybe actually just go, God, who is it can I invite to actually just ask the questions? I know my parents ran Alpha for about a decade in Toowoomba. So I grew up around Alpha. Then Beck and I ran Alpha for 5 years on the Gold Coast. And we just saw life after life after life changed. It's amazing, amazing course. And I know Ant and his team do a great job. So get behind Ant. Maybe if you want to be a leader to help Ant run the course, please go see Ant out in the Next Steps area. But one of the things that we've actually got printed again, and I actually think this is a great tool for us, we've actually got some invite cards to church. Grab a stack of these and have them on you at all times. You know those moments where you just get in a conversation, you're not really sure what else to say, but people go, I know you're different, and they know you're a Christian or whatever. Hey, do you want to come to church? You don't have to have all the answers. Like Skip said, the win is the invite. And they may say no, but they might say yes. And the stats show 1 in 2 people say yes. We'll be prepared to say yes. I know that years ago, I used to have a stack of these in my car when I was an Uber driver. And I used to hand them out all the time. And there was one story that I just got blown away by. I got a call from our pastor at the time, said, did you give out an invite card to one of your Uber, you know, like passengers? I said, yeah, I give out heaps of them. And a lady had rocked up at church at a service I didn't go to and said, yeah, I'm here because some Uber driver told me to go to church. She made a decision for Christ. I actually never met her, but I go, isn't that amazing? It's just that seed sowing. So church, let's be a church that invites. Step outside your comfort zone and say, you know what? I've got Jesus. You need Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers, but we're giving you a way to do it. And so get some of these cards out of the Next Steps area. If you're in this room today and you're like, you know what? I want to know more about Jesus. I actually want to follow Jesus. I want to maybe do Alpha, or I want to start my journey because it is a journey. Come out to our Next Steps area after the service. Come and chat to someone. Get prayed with. Take a step of faith yourself. It's the best thing you can possibly do.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.